Okay, my favorite objectionable material, warning. All right, this is Tracy. It's Friday, 10 to midnight under the rock. Special evening this evening. We have live performances from two artists. We have Valerie Mulberry in the studio, and we have Mike Wojnak in the studio. And I'm excited about it. I played a few cuts off Valerie's album last week. I just got Mike's CD in my hand, so I'll be sure and play some of that here in short order. But let me have Valerie say hello and talk just a little bit about herself, and then we'll get over and say hello to Mike.
Hi, I'm Valerie Mulberry, and I'm a singer-songwriter here in town, and originally from Oregon, but been here about 8 years, and I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Tracy.
And we're happy to be here. We'll talk some more in a little bit after we hear some music. Mike, thank you so much for coming. Tell me a little bit about yourself and where you're from real quick.
Thanks for having me. Again, it's Mike Wojnak, and I'm really excited to be here too. So I'm from Ohio originally, Columbus, Ohio, but now I live in San Diego, which is a nice place to be. So I don't miss the cold of Ohio, but I'm still kind of getting acclimated to San Diego and the city. But I've been there about 2 years and currently on a tour through the Southwest and came through the northern part of California. So,
and she's letting you play for her even though you just beat up on Oregon State?
Yeah, we didn't talk about that yet, so I guess that's why we're still friends. I don't know.
It's because, you know why? I care. Okay, this is sacrilegious right here. This might be, are we in safe harbor hours? Because I'm going to say I hate sports.
Hey, Super Bowl Sunday, day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
I probably just, you know, I probably offended a lot of people just now.
No, but all the stores are uncrowded in that one little 3 hour period. So you're okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. All right, man. Well, let's have some fun. Let's kick into it. Valerie, you want to go ahead and do a tune?
Sure, yeah. I'll do the Simple Things. This is the title of my album.
The sunshine in the morning, cup of coffee and you. On this island, ocean blue, the simple things we'll do, the simple things we'll do. Fun.
Okay, you knocked that out of the park.
Oh,
that was awesome.
Thank
you. Yes, you can. Thank you. Oh, that was great. So that was the title track off your new CD.
That's right, yeah.
And wow, sounds great live.
Thanks.
Wow, phenomenal. So when did this get released?
It's almost a year ago at this point. It's February 20th, 2014. So... I'm in a new year.
And you recorded it here locally in Santa Barbara?
I did, yeah, with David West at Studio Z down on State Street. There's a cool little hole-in-the-wall studio, and it just does great work. And, yeah, I worked on it for every Thursday night, basically, for 18 months. And Max, who you mentioned earlier, was my producer on it.
It sounds great. I mean, time well spent.
Thank you.
Nice to see you using a lot of local resources to make it happen. You know, it takes a village.
Yeah, we have some really great talent around here in this town. I mean, Lois Mahalia, she's a really great backup singer on the album. She's singing backup on that song and a few others. And man, I love her voice. It's really great.
Yeah, I played like 3 cuts off this last week, and all of them were really good. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Thanks for playing it.
Yeah. Last week was the first time I got my hands on it. I'll be playing it more in the future.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Hey, Mike, tell me your CD is called, it looks like Anima Mundi.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Latin phrase, which means the world's soul. So it's kind of a phrase that means every living thing is connected in the planet or in the universe, I guess. But
great. And you know. So kind of, is it a folky thing or a kind of a world music or?
It's a little bit more indie rock. I think this EP is, mm-hmm. Some of my other albums are more singer songwriter acoustic, but this one has taken, I think maybe a little more just melodic rock type feel.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. And when did this come out?
This came out over the summer, June, I think, or July, actually, 2014.
Okay, good deal. So it's very new.
Yeah, it's pretty new. So, yeah, I'm excited to have that out.
Good. I play a lot of new music on my show. So
cool.
I will most definitely keep this around.
Sweet.
So you ready to do it, too?
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
All righty. Let's hear it. I love it.
Cool. I'm going to do a song called Listen to Your Heart.
All right.
Turns
interest is not safe. But gambling requires faith. Unfold your papier-mâché.
Oh, that was awesome. Thank you.
Thank
yes.
you so much.
All righty. This I'm liking this evening already. I feel special. Besides having like two top-notch artists in here, I got a couple of engineers to help out. You know, usually we're flying solo in here. We're, you know, playing the ads and or not ads. I mean PSAs and what have you, and playing our music. So it's nice to have all this company and assistance. I love it.
Cool.
All righty. So tell me, how did you two hook up and end up playing together and jamming together?
Mike can tell that story.
How was it? I had an ad up on Craigslist about doing a gig swap, and because I've done that in some other cities when I'm traveling around. And so she connected with me, Valerie did, and we figured that this is a good option. We kind of went through a couple different ideas, and this came to fruition, and so here we are today, and hopefully she's going to come to San Diego where I'm based and do a show in a little bit. So,
yeah.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. Yeah. Cyber networking.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
It absolutely works. Yeah, actually, I know other bands that have used Craigslist and actually sometimes the old-fashioned telephone, actually calling places, but Craigslist mostly,
yeah,
to hook up with other bands in that area and get gigs with them, and so they can kind of create a tour that way.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, you know, everyone's networking, and it's kind of, most of the time I think it's good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about where people can go to learn about your CDs. Do you have like web page, social media stuff?
Yeah, my website is basically my first and last name, which is Mike, and then my last name is a Polish last name, so it's a little tricky, but it's WOJNIAK, so it's MikeWoniak.com, and then I have a Facebook and Twitter, which are just under the same names, too. So just if you type in basically Mike and WOJ, I think I'm the first guy to come up, hopefully.
Okay.
I should be.
All right, yeah. So is there, you know, some bios on there and information on, like, albums and tours and what have you?
Definitely, yeah. There's a tour page, and then there's a merchandise page with the records I've done, and then there's I have some music videos and stuff on there that I've done over the years, so should be a decent amount of stuff to keep people entertained for a little while.
Playing anywhere local?
I'm playing tomorrow at in San Luis Obispo.
Cool.
At Linnae's, I believe it's called.
All right, yeah.
And then Sunday, I'm doing a thing at Sculptera Winery in Paso Robles.
Yeah.
Yes, Paso Robles.
Very cool. Yeah. So San Luis is about an hour and a half up, and then, you know, another hour or so up from there, you'll be in your other destination.
Cool.
So you'll head north. You'll go through some night good looking. It'll be green since it rained recently, so you'll have a nice drive.
That's always nice.
That is nice. Valerie, do you have some info available on a webpage for folks looking to learn a little bit about you?
Yeah, I do. I have my website. It's just my first and last name, ValerieMulberry.com, and you can spell Valerie, you know, two ways and you'll still find me. So I always say my mom was dyslexic, so I ended up Valarie instead of Valerie, which is the normal way, but so I buy two domain names.
Normal has many perspectives.
Yeah, so...
And is there, like, you know, bio info up there and, like, tour info and what have you?
Yep, everything's on there. It's pretty comprehensive. You can, you know, gigs.
Oh, cool.
From 10 years back to, you know, next week's gigs.
So are you playing in town or anywhere near?
Yeah, I am. I'm playing a really fun show on Tuesday the 3rd at Soho. It's a Carole King tribute show.
Oh, very cool.
And I'm playing two Carole King songs with my friend David Lepke, who's another singer-songwriter here in town. And he's playing piano and I'm singing one fine day, and I feel the earth move, and I think it's going to be really fun. We've been working on it. I hope we pull it off. and then I'm playing a couple more shows. I'm playing in Atascadero at the Barrel Room on Thursday, the 5th, and then on Saturday, the 7th, I'm playing at Yoga Soup for a kids festival. So people that have kids, come on out. I'm doing a few of my silly songs, like a song about my cats and a song about my nephew, and I'll probably dress up funny and, you know, make fun of myself. And
you didn't steal Phoebe's smelly cat, did you?
Nope. I didn't. No. I have a song about my three cats. Blueberry is one of them, and my last name is Mulberry, so his name's Blueberry Mulberry.
Well, at least you've got a sense of humor.
No, I was being serious. No, just joking.
That wasn't a joke.
What are you laughing at?
All righty. Want to do another tune?
Oh, sure, yeah. I will play... I'll play Love Triangle.
All right.
As long as nobody asks me anything about it. Tired of this love triangle. The better shapes I could be in. How about a circle? Yeah, you know. It never stops giving. Ooh, and even a square would do. You know it's even two by two. Shapes I could be in. Now about a circle, yeah, you know, it never stops giving. Ooh, and even a square would do. know it's even too bad. Tired of this love triangle. There are better shapes I could be in. Now about a circle, yeah, you know, it never stops giving. Ooh, ooh, even a square would do. You know it's even two by two. Two by two.
Ooh. All right, there you go.
Yeah.
That's rocking.
Thank you.
This is my first live show. I think I like it.
Cool.
Going well so far. All righty. So we're going to drift off for a minute, play a couple of PSAs, and then we'll be back. We'll talk to our artists a little bit more and get a couple of more songs going. So let me put one on here real quick. I thought I had it all ready to go. Here we are. Where's my favorite one? Oh, no, here's the one. Yeah. Here we go.
Isla Vista Tenants Union challenges and transforms unjust housing conditions and housing policies through empowerment-based education, leadership development, and grassroots community organizing. They work with local groups, the county, the university, and businesses in order to educate and advocate on tenants' rights, housing rights, and responsibilities. Informational meetings are every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Their office is located at 6550 Pardell Road, Unit B, above Graphic Art. Entrance is in the back.
KCSB advises you to stay safe this holiday season. Don't drive after knocking back the eggnog. Drunk driving is both dangerous and illegal and could ruin your life in a variety of ways. Plan ahead with a designated driver or call a cab to get you back to your house safe and sound. This has been a festive safety message from your friends here at KCSB FM. Happy holidays!
Winter is coming, and with it comes winter break. KCSB encourages you to stay safe in every way possible. Bundle up for cold weather. Watch out for black ice. Don't drive distracted or inebriated. Arrive at the airport early. Don't forget your luggage. Never hire an unmarked taxi. Always tip the bellboy. Give your seat on the bus to someone more deserving. Don't eat unrefrigerated food. Be nice to your grandparents. This has been some gentle nagging from us here at 91.9 FM KCSB. Have a happy and joyous holiday season.
Okay, I know the holidays are kind of over, but the Super Bowl's close. I know
it's a holiday.
The sports, but that's kind of like that's like the real ending of the holiday season. All the playoffs are done.
It's Friday. That's kind of like a holiday.
You know what it is? It's been my favorite day like my whole life.
Yeah.
Thanks, God. And now I got a show on Friday. Now it makes it an even better day for me.
Always a celebration.
All righty. Where's George, man? Who's going to get the mic?
Well, I'm on the mic here.
He's joining the fun. George is responsible for getting these wonderful artists here, so I thought I'd have him say hello and say a couple of words.
Yeah, they know me by Gio, because George is my government name. And
he likes to remain off the grid.
X-Tech Overload is how I stay off the grid and play all that radical beats on the show right before this.
Yeah,
but,
that was good
stuff. Wanted to ask Valerie or either artist, what it's like to write a song and try to get it out into a performance. Is it something you just want to do like one song periodically, or is it something where you tackle three new songs, get it down, and hit the road with you know, new material? How's that work for you?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Well, I guess we could both answer that and how we do it in our own ways. I guess I'm kind of a kind of slow at the whole process. Yeah, I kind of do, I might do one new song a show or two songs a show, but depends on the kind of show. And I also kind of am always working, like I have a whole pile of them that I'm working on simultaneously. You know, I kind of go back and forth. And when it comes to the time that I think it's time to take it out to the world, usually about two or three come along, you know, and sort of finish at the same time. And I bring them out and I show them a little bit. And sometimes I say, oh, no, no, you need to go back home and grow up a little bit more. And
so you have some like sections of a song or riffs that hang around for months waiting for you to like find something that you really like that goes well with them?
Yeah, sometimes I've some songs, I mean, I've taken a decade to write. I mean, they just keep coming back. Like, I mean, I have this song called Easy to Cry. I didn't really start the song years ago, but I kept the title, like I, you know, for years, you know, and I'm like, oh, someday, because it was something somebody said, you know, and I was like, that would make a good song. And it's always in my head, you know, and finally it just kind of all worked. You know, it all, like, brought itself out. I didn't even write it. It just came. You know what I mean? I'm sure Mike knows what I mean. They just, sometimes they just show up, just like, you just kind of channel them. But,
exactly.
Yeah.
You're just the vessel.
Yeah.
Do you have a process, Mike?
Yeah, I think for new songs, it's kind of similar. I normally will only add in one or two new songs per show, and that's kind of the test. You know, if it fails miserably, then I know I need to go back to the writing board and then try to rewrite it, or just you know, write a new part, or come from a different approach maybe. But I think it also varies dependent upon the song, because some songs come out and they're automatically easy to play and they feel like they just fit, and other songs you just work and work and work at and you come back to and they don't click right. So it's really kind of a song to song thing for me, I think. But yeah.
And it probably helps to record even a rough demo. In my experience, when I used to try to produce local like rap artists, kids, you'd have a great idea, but if you didn't record it, mm-hmm. or at least have something down that you could hear, it would be really hard to get that vibe back. So you probably have that same experience.
It's like gone to the ethers, right? It's just like, it was just like this transient thing. Exactly. Yeah, sometimes, unless it's really like, you know, got a great hook that you're going to remember.
Right.
But even then, you know, yeah, you just always have to record it. Something.
Definitely. I agree with that.
Yeah. Phone, the whole, you know, smartphone thing is helpful. Yeah. You can record it right on there.
You can't plug it in.
The tools. You got a tuner, you got a metronome, you got a recorder. They got all the mobile apps on the smartphones.
I know.
It's true.
It's too funny. Yeah. So, hey, Mike, you ready to do another tune?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm pretty sure.
I got faith in you, man.
All right, cool.
Okay.
I'm going to do a song called Like a Snail.
I'm coming after you, like the summertime on a Florida beach. A contract that can't be breached. You got me now, completely exposed, completely exposed. And you took me off of the trail, and you taught me to walk like the snail, slow and deliberate, intended movements, the soil unbruised by the foot, with the wind the arms of the tree show, reaching towards the sunlight. Home is far from our sight. Reaching towards the sunlight. Home is far from our sight. Tried like heck to stay away, but the short trip to your place seemed easier. Like the winter time in Montreal, icicles that grow so tall on your exhaust. And you took me off of the trail, and you taught me to walk like the snail, slow and deliberate, intended movements, the soil unbruised by the foot. With the wind, the arms of the tree shook, reaching towards the sunlight. Home is far from our sight. Reaching towards the sunlight, home is far from our sight. Reaching towards the sunlight, home is far from our sight.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Thank you.
Enjoy. And what was the name of that song?
It was called Like a Snail.
Like a Snail. Okay, very good. And I don't see that on this CD here.
That's actually, I'm doing an acoustic album that's coming out in the summer, so that will be on that one.
All right, very cool. Yep. All right. It is good. So let's, real quick, one thing we haven't talked a little bit about is, I mean, I could make some guesses from listening, but influences, you're growing up, you're learning to play, you're wanting to learn this song and that song, so who is making you want to go in what directions?
Growing up, I mean, I listened to stuff like James Taylor, and I'm still a big Radiohead fan, so I kind of grew, you know, was a big fan of them, and other current bands like Bon Iver, and I like Coldplay, and those are some of the more mainstream stuff that I listen to, but really kind of I'm all over the map. I like classical music, but I also like some R&B, which I don't typically admit, but now I'm admitting on the radio, so I don't know how good that is. But kind of a little bit of everything I really enjoy.
Yeah, little slices of it here and there, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. Well, anyway, very melodic, very very beautiful. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Thank you.
And what were you listening to when you were growing up, Valerie?
Well, a lot of Motown, actually.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I grew up out in the country, and we got, like, two radio stations, and one that I listened to a lot. Do you remember the show called Solid Gold Saturday Night?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I listened to that a lot. And different, and the other station was country. So, I mean, I have a bit of Americana, but, country got kind of pop all of a sudden, and, you know,
it's
15, 20 years
huge,
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before, it used to be more country-ish, or more, you know, like,
it was a little more
old school, you know? Yeah.
It was, yeah, definitely. It's morphed into a lot of kind of country-ish rock, really, soft rock kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's
like, you know what it is now? It's like formulaic, I think. That's the thing. Like, that's the thing that's kind of off-putting. But anyway, there's some good Americana and some great artists out there now.
Oh, there are.
Amazing,
you know,
that, yeah.
I have fun playing like Green on Red on my show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with Green on Red, but anyway, good band, good old, like,
yeah.
They were one of the pioneers of Americana, kind of really made it big in the LA area, but anyway, yeah. So yeah, if you're ever noodling around on the net, playing some songs, dig up some Green on Red.
Green on Red. Okay.
Yeah, great Americana stuff. I listened to a lot of Chuck Prophet too.
Oh yeah.
Chuck Prophet was the guitar player in Green on Red.
Okay.
So yeah, very cool stuff. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, and I definitely heard a little bit of country when I was playing this last week and a couple of tunes. Yeah, you have a beautiful voice.
Thanks.
And
yeah.
Yeah,
my dad used to play, like, when I was growing up, he played a lot of different, like, a lot of Beatles covers, a lot of, like, different things, like Otis Redding, Peter Paul Mary, stuff like that. So I kind of grew up on the songs, not so much of my generation, you know. But there was, you know, the Cyndi Lauper and stuff like that, too.
The pop stuff.
Yeah.
That's everywhere. That's kind of cast upon you, whether it's coming through the speakers at home or not.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, hang on. There we go. Now I can hear you. I went completely dark. There we go. Did you grow up in a musical household, Mike?
I did. Yeah, my parents are musical, and my dad played some piano, and he played the clarinet when he was younger. And I started with the trombone, actually. So I was doing trombone, and then I went to tuba, and then guitar, and then play some piano and stuff now too.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So how long you been gigging? I mean, how long you been, you know, getting out there in front of people and, you know, spilling your soul out on stage?
Yeah, quite a long time. I think I'm like around 15, 16 years now or something like that. And I started when I was in a band, when I was, I think, 15 in a high school band. So that's a little more than 16, 17 years.
Long time. Goes fast, doesn't it? Yeah.
I had a question about that. Is as far as being a writer, is it hard to stay with a band when you're the main writer and other people want to put their input into it? Is that why a lot of writers kind of do the solo thing for a big part of their career? Either one.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't really answer that because I just get to the part, like, just trying to keep a band together, period, is really difficult.
Yeah.
And you know, there are just so many push and pull factors to the economic factors that musicians are constantly struggling with, and, you know, and the time, you know. I mean, time is a resource, too, that, you know, is part of the equation as an artist, you know, that's just as important as, you know, paying the rent, you know.
Yeah, it's so, golden. Time is gold, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's that work-life balance, you know, the whole, you know, trying to make that work. But I don't know, really, because I've never had a band, you know, in that sense. You know, I've kind of just done the duo thing or, you know,
In studio band type thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then specific gigs, bands for that. But, you know, I've never had really a long-term band. That is a goal. That's something that is in formation right now. But, Mike, what do you have to say about that question?
definitely, yeah, it's a good question. And I think for me, I don't think that was the case, because I did play in a number of bands in Ohio before I moved to San Diego, and I think the main reasons that those kind of dissipated was just the time thing more than a difference of musical direction.
Right.
Because I was playing with guys that I'm still really good friends with, but, you know, people were working full-time jobs, having children. I almost said having wives, but that doesn't make sense. But they do have wives, but they're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No,
we get it. So. We're all good.
That's another whole other talk show.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. Dr. Phil, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that's good. So, hey, real quick, once you've gotten a song, because I know you've both done a lot of solo songwriting and singing, and you go into the studio and you've got a song and you've got a producer, someone like Max, who's, you know, besides, I don't know him on the production end, but I've heard him play, and I know he's great. And so how does that song morph? Does he, you know, add the instrumentation to bring in, let's put this here and that, you know? Tell me a little bit about how that morphs. And have you brought a song in at one point and then, like, listened to it 8 weeks later after you've experimented with some different tweaks and different takes and gone, okay, you know, that's different and you like it, like, more.
Yeah. I guess most of, and when I was doing my album, most of it was kind of finished. Like the song structure, it was definitely finished. Maximiliano De Leon, my producer, he had some suggestions, a lot of suggestions and stuff. His is more like arrangements, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, putting what instruments to put on, how sparse or how prominent to make them, and, you know, stuff like that. I guess he did help a little bit on, you know, a few things.
They're big on tone, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're all about tone.
And, oh, my gosh, when we were mixing, that was an expensive process working with a perfectionist Virgo as my producer, because you can go through these like electronic, like all these different amps and different rooms and sounds. And so like, I swear we spent 3 hours one night on like the right room sound, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, how much did that just cost me?
You gotta have the big bright sound with the high ceiling, you know?
But
it matters.
It does matter. It does matter. Yes. And you know, the right amount of reverb and all, I mean, everything. But I've definitely taken a song like one time Max wasn't there. And I, it was the night that I was laying down the guitar for my song Higher. And I'm like, nope, that's too fast. I swear to you, it was just two beats too fast, and I needed him to help me. Like, tell me that was two beats too fast, you know? And it, like, two beats per minute too fast, and that's how picky I am. But it makes a difference, I swear, right? It's like you got to be able to sync your voice into it in this certain way and
the
just
timing
vibe
is,
it.
The timing is everything.
It's the heartbeat.
I know producers are known to call individual band members and say, decide the speed, practice to the click, have it in time when you get here. We need everybody playing to the same beat.
Know what happens too? I notice bands at different times when they're playing live on stage, for whatever reason, they'll be on a different vibe. So that does tend to change depending on who you're playing with, or I guess what venue you're playing, how excited you are. I guess.
That's where you look to the human metronome called the drummer, and you know, you're following his click.
I know. Sometimes, some people are known to speed up. I won't mention names.
Right.
That's pretty common. Oh, but anyway, these are just both very good albums. It's like, and I like the artwork, Valerie. Good photo,
and I
like the inside cover too. Very cool.
Thanks.
It's an important part of the experience when you're holding the CD in your hand and going, I'm feeling the vibe. I'm feeling the colors.
It's very springish.
Cool. Oh, cool. I was.
And these on the back.
Yeah. I was told by somebody though that, which I think he's kind of right. I was told, you know, I like the production. I like your voice. I like your songs. But you need a new picture. Well, I think, and he's like, he said, you know what? Your music's sassy, and your picture's not sassy enough. It's kind of innocent. And
what's he want, like a gold cap and like a Madonna thing going?
Bandana.
I'm not sure, but we talked about the picture for like 20 minutes, and I couldn't get any other information out of him. So I'm like, okay, this is going nowhere. I got it. I got to get a new picture, but I've already spent all this money on the CD, so you know, maybe next album.
Right.
Well, the folks in the booth like it,
Thank you.
Good.
That's what matters. Radio matters.
That's right. The visuals. It's all about the visuals. So, hey, Mike, this looks like a watercolor to me.
It is kind of, It's like a mountain into the water, but it's an effect that is similar to watercolor. Yeah,
because that's where my money was going. I was like, I wonder if he paints as well.
I didn't actually do the artwork myself, so I can't take credit for it,
It's good, though.
Cool.
It is very cool.
Thanks,
All righty, well, let's do another. Can we do another song? Are you guys good with that?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I think they're good to do a few more, no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love that. I'll let you guys decide who.
You can play, Mike.
You play? Okay.
Yeah, you play
one. Okay, I'm going to do one off that EP, and the song's called Stone in the Sea.
All righty.
So I'll just tell you quickly, I have a video on YouTube where I performed it in a studio in San Diego with a cello player and a viola player. So
oh, wow.
The album version is with a full band, but there's a stripped-down version of kind of like I'm going to play on YouTube. So if you want,
I definitely like different versions.
Yeah, that is cool. Thank you for telling us that, because I will check that out.
Sure.
And, you know, I can play things off the web, too.
Stream. There we go.
And I remix, so if you want to plug that in there.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And some stems, and I'll do my rendition.
That would be amazing. I'm totally down with that.
Yeah.
Finally.